What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You ready?
Always.
You ready?
Yes.
Betcha we are. Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at high noon, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you on this overcast, rainy Wednesday. Let's bring a little sunshine into your lives. Tim, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You know, Monday night, we've talked about it a lot on this show. There's just certain teams, right, that just, for whatever reason, it seems like they're always on the bad end of things. And wasn't it, like, so typical Cleveland Browns that game played out where they lost the game in the fashion that they did? And what did you make? I mean, it was an incredible game. It was a fun game to watch on Monday night. If you didn't enjoy that, then, you know, the NFL's not going to get you as a fan, but what did you make overall of the game?
Well, I mean, was it 89 points scored? I mean, that, like, I think people like seeing points. People like seeing good players. They certainly, you know, both teams are kind of littered with, you know, players and, you know, look, an MVP, former MVP, a player that was a number one overall draft pick, you know, at the marquee positions. And so, like, I think that's what people like seeing. I think it's one of the reasons why, like, when we analyze teams, whether it's you guys, me, or really anybody else, we seem to all kind of favor offense. You know, I think even, you know, probably subconsciously we do that. And, you know, it's just more fun that way, I think. And so, look, it was a great game. I think it's two good teams. They're not perfect teams, but I think both of them are really good. And I would just say this in terms of, like, you know, Cleveland losing – you know, in that fashion, kind of the drama associated with it, still a 9-win football team, you know. And I think I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago, I thought they would get to 11 wins or, and look, that's for Cleveland, that's a drastic change for what has been normal for them.
Right. But you understand the dynamic. I mean, there are two huge rivalry games. And it's the Ravens and the Steelers. There's no secret there. And those two franchises have absolutely owned the Browns. And it's important for them to try. And by the way, the Browns will finish their regular season against Pittsburgh. To try to win those games rather than always lose those games. And here you are. You're at home. It's Monday night. The hype train is huge. You're just coming off a big win in Nashville over the Titans. Baker Mayfield threw for 4 touchdowns. And, you know, yet again, it seems like they can't find a way to win those type of games.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. But I guess, you know, I'm kind of more, you know, looking at maybe a bigger picture of Cleveland. Like, this was, they fired their coach last year, you know. So, you know, when you get a brand-new coach and you have an offseason the way they have had an offseason, and when the player who's, you know, widely viewed as their best offensive player is done for the year, and, you know, their best defensive player was missing time because of COVID, and, like, yeah, well, look, like, was that a game that, you know, you feel like maybe they would have turned the corner if they were able to pull that game out and win that football game? Yeah, sure, there's probably, like, a bit of that feeling. I just am looking at this team as just a few years ago, they were winless. They're a 9-win team. And to your point, like, coming off a good win last week, you know, they play another, you know, team that's viewed as a playoff caliber team. And, you know, depending on how things kind of, you know, could have bounced a little bit differently, you know, they could, you know, they're right there. So, yeah, look, I get you. It's disappointing anytime you lose a division game, especially when there's a history and all that stuff. But I think Cleveland's a good team. I think there should just kind of be this optimism surrounding them.
Well, I think if they would have won that game, I think we'd have been sitting here talking with you today about the Browns actually winning that division. They have a show, you know. I mean, Pittsburgh's gone from, you know, 11, you know, undefeated and the only last team standing in the league at undefeated. To next thing you know, our conversation today: can the Browns win the division? You know, I think there would have been people believe they could because of all the injuries and everything that's happening with the Steelers right now. They just don't look like the same team. But, you know, you lose that game, and obviously that's not going to be in the cards. But I think today the storyline would have been, if they won that game, can the Browns win the division? You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think you're right, because the Steelers go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, they're going the wrong way.
The interesting thing with the Steelers is, you know, they keep getting, you know, injuries on the offensive line. They lose one of their good, you know, pass rushers. And they're a team, you know, the drops have been a kind of this issue that, you know, it seems to be snowballing. And, you know, the other thing with them is, like, they don't run the football at all. Like, they're this kind of one-dimensional team. So, yeah, I think they're heading in that direction. The Browns, you know, prior to the game against the Ravens, and even elements of that Ravens game, you know, we have them all, you know, going the other direction. They are, you know, they're a tough team with two good backs, and they will run the football, and they've got a good defense and playmakers on that side of the ball. And if the quarterback can play, you know, as well as he has in spurts, all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a second, you know, are they a team that people aren't going to want to see, you know, in the postseason where it's, you know, it's a one game elimination. So yeah, look, I think we're kind of still in that realm a little bit. To me, I look at it and I think, look, hey, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. And, you know, I think at one point we maybe were like, well, look, maybe Pittsburgh's there with them. Well, they're not now, right? So, and look, in fairness to Pittsburgh, and, you know, their world kind of got flipped upside down a little bit when the Titans were going through that contact tracing and guys testing positive, and the game gets moved, and their bye week gets moved, and then now they're kind of playing a stretch with no break. They're getting injuries. Like, I think that's part of how this year is going to go. You know, like, how have you survived, you know, the new protocols and guys being, you know, sick? And I think that was kind of a start for them that made things more difficult. Now they're in the heat of it, and if they can't recover by the time the playoffs start, then they're not going to be much of a threat.
How do you explain the drops? I'm sure you've gone through that as a quarterback. Pittsburgh's got really, really good receiving core. Juju Smith drops the first two passes to him. Deontay Johnson, who's had some big weeks, all of a sudden he can't catch anything. Yeah, they bench him during the course of the game. I mean, Mike Tomlin's like, you know, if you can't catch the ball, we'll find somebody who can. They got, I think, the most drops in the league. Like, how do you explain what's going on with a very good receiving core?
Yeah, I think the drops, I mean, look, if they're guys that can catch, right, which those guys can, if they're guys that can catch and then you're dealing with the drops, then I think that, look, it just becomes one of those things that's mental, right? Like, we've joked before about throwing batting practice to little league teams, you know? If you peg a couple kids, it's like it's in your head, and you're like, well, wait a second, can I really throw BT anymore? You know, I think the drops can, you know, be in a, you know, in a similar way. And, look, Eric Ebron is a really good player. He's made some amazing catches over the last few years in his time in Indy and, you know, even with Pittsburgh. But then, so you're like, well, how do you explain the drops? Or, and so I think it's one of those situations. And I think, you know, you also, like if you look at the other night, it looked kind of nasty out. It was probably wet and cold, a little slippery. And, you know, and so sometimes that doesn't help, you know, pull you out of it. So, look, I think drops with guys that can catch, with those guys can, ends up really being just a mental deal.
Really? Aha! Sorry, there was a text in between your text there, and I missed your cue. I thought you had one more there. Sorry. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking ESPN. So, Tim, this is the flavor every week now, and it's gotten more intriguing, especially with Derrick Henry getting a huge game on Sunday. And you're looking at Detroit and their struggles, you know, against the run. there's a shot. There's an outside shot. He could do a lot of really special things. 2,000 yards, maybe, if he has a big finish. Back-to-back rushing titles. But he's also getting to a workload that would have you concerned historically of what that does to you down the road, particularly next year. So how do you try to tackle that? I know they're aware of it. For example, you know, they saw an opportunity maybe to give him one or two more carries last week to get over 200 when they didn't have to do it. They had the game won. But how would you try to approach that if you're the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've tried to have a balance, too, with some of the other backs that they've played. You know, whether it was Foreman or whether it's McNichols. Like, I do feel like they, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's second quarter and, you know, the other backs are in the game. So, yeah, I think you want to be mindful about it. You've invested in having him, you know, with the team, you know, for, you know, the future, if you will, you know, especially at the running back position. And so, yeah, I think there probably is some certain statistical milestones that are meaningful to the player, to, you know, kind of the historic, you know, pace that he's been on in terms of, you know, things he's accomplished as a runner. And so, look, not that that's the most important thing, but I think you need to be aware of those things. At the same time, yeah, being concerned about workload. Now, I also think that part of, you know, the other side of it is that, you know, some of these kind of like elite, freakishly athletic, strong runners have the ability to maybe go further than other guys, right? So, like, look, Eddie George's career was longer than other guys, you know, and Adrian Peterson's career in terms of production has been longer than other guys. And now, you know, they can be outliers, but at the same time, I think you look at Derrick Henry and you say, well, I think there's a lot of kind of outlying things that he's been able to do. And, you know, he wasn't called on as much, you know, earlier in his career as he's been on, as he's been called on now.
So looking ahead now, you've got the Washington team. They all of a sudden have got a couple of good wins here, and they look like maybe the best team in that division. I was looking at all kinds of odd sites. You know, what are the odds that a team ends up with a 500 record now in the NFC East, which probably wasn't even thinkable before? But are they now emerging as the best team in that division? How good is their defense?
Yeah, I don't think that division is any good, which is probably not anything different than anybody else thinks. Okay, Philadelphia is obviously kind of in a weird spot with a quarterback situation. They've dug themselves a huge hole. I don't think New York has, you know, the firepower to be consistent offensively, even though they have a good defense. And so, you know, you look at them and they're a 6-7 football team who I think when they have Alex Smith as their quarterback, you know, can find ways to, you know, not lose it at that position. Yeah, I think they are good defensively. They're well coached. Ron Rivera is a very good defensive coach, and I think that that kind of shows in how that team is prepared. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know that anybody is scared of those teams. I look at the NFC, and I think, you know, the East is a mess, and, you know, I'm not really sure who the best team in that division is or in that conference is. You can maybe say, oh, let's wait for Breeze to come back. But I think that the NFC is just basically so wide open. With that being said, I still don't think that a team out of the East ends up being a real big threat.
So with that in mind, one team we've looked at a lot is the Rams. Do you think the Rams have the best roster other than the quarterback position in the NFC?
I do. I mean, I got asked on SportsCenter on Sunday, you know, who kind of, okay, right now, who's your best team? And I think I would say the Rams, probably because of that. They have a good roster. You know, we just take their defense. They've got good playmakers at every level of their defense, okay? So, boom, you start there. They've, you know, they have pretty good special teams. They've, you know, they're kind of, I think, finding a runner in Cam Akers. They're, you know, scheme-wise, I think it fits the quarterback great. And so I think there's elements where you're like, yeah, it's the Rams right now. You know, I kind of alluded to it. Well, what about when Breeze gets back? You know, I think the Saints look like a totally different team when Breeze gets back. Because I think you look at other teams, and just even watching the Vikings and Tampa Bay play this weekend, but the Vikings
basically were the better football team. They doubled them up in time of possession. They ran 26 more plays. You know, they just basically gave away 13 points with a mixed extra point, three missed field goals, and then a horrible pass interference call on a Hail Mary before the half. That's a difference in the game. So, you know, I look at those two teams and I'm like, I don't think that any one of them is really all that good. So I think Green Bay is the other team that's maybe in the mix. And so, yeah, I think it's wide open, probably the Rams, maybe Green Bay, Saints when Breeze gets back. Like, that's how you see it, which feels wide open to me.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every week. A conversation we were having earlier, Tim, about the Titans, and because Mike Vrabel was asked in his press conference about Arthur Smith and his jobs are opening up and Arthur's name gets mentioned, you know, kind of his thoughts on that. And it kind of went into a deeper conversation about how Mike defends his players, defends his coaches. You can tell that he has their backs. And then it led us down to the defensive coordinator conversation and the fact that they don't have one, that it's Shane Bowen, but not with the title. So you look at the Titans this year with 9 wins, and you know that what the offense is, but as you see that defense and the miscues that they have had, do you think it's more the fact that they don't have a true DC or the fact that it's just the personnel?
Yeah, to be honest, I think you can kind of see this in Vrabel's reaction sometimes. The thing that's been stunning to me is these third and long situations. Like, they've been exhausting to watch. And I think when you see Vrabel on the sideline sometimes react to it, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, like, how does that happen? I feel like we've coached it right. We've coached it the way it's probably been coached for years. We liked the call we had for the play that the offense decided to run. And so, you know, to say that it's a, you know, that's a coordinator issue, like, I don't know. I don't think that is would necessarily be the case. I would think this, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would think this. Mike Vrabel was a defensive player, a very good defensive player that had been around multiple schemes, but for the most part, you know, had been a part of, and also, you know, as a player, as a coach, you know, had been a part of an experienced real success with, you know, a certain style and brand of defense. And so I think that whoever is going to work for him on the defensive side of the ball probably has to see it in a similar fashion, which is, you know, let's be honest, like, that's what, you know, we've seen, you know, when he had Dean Pease, or, you know, just kind of how he's approached that in the past. So if he had a defense coordinator, I don't know that they would be doing anything drastically different than they're doing right now. Now, could they add a coordinator, you know, in the future, and would that make sense? Yeah, I think it could, but I haven't seen that as, like, that's the issue. I think the bigger issue is, not necessarily personnel. I think the personnel has improved. A little more pressure on the quarterback, and just some of these third and long situations, like finding a way to get it done, even if you don't have the right call. Like, that, to me, would probably be where, you know, I see the most frustration.
Can I step in for just a second?
Yeah, and I was going to set you up because I know where you're going with this.
I mean, if that's the case, Tim, then what you laid out is correct in what's been going on this season, then why didn't that happen with Dean Pease if it's not about the coaching, if it's not about the coordinator? We weren't talking about this stuff with Dean Pease.
Yeah, well, and listen, sometimes you can – you know, sometimes it's a little like, are you kidding? Like, why are we in this? You know, where, like, we did everything we wanted. We got to 3rd and 13. Like, that's exactly what we were trying to do. And, like, but, you know, the question ends up being is, like, well, are your calls all that different than they were with Dean? You know, I don't know that – I don't believe that they have been. So –
Well, you just said that the personnel's gotten better, and I agree with you. I said that earlier.
Well, what I'm saying is, when I say that, and I will say this, and I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago, I actually think that the addition of Desmond King has made a big difference for the positive. So when you look at the yearly statistical numbers, they are they're not going to be good because some of those early struggles. Okay. Now, obviously, things haven't totally changed on some of these third downs over the past, you know, call them 5 weeks. But, you know, I do think that, look, I think there's a stretch here where the numbers can even out. It's just not normal. I honestly, like, it's one of these things that there, I feel like it's kind of an outlier. And that's why I think, like, Vrabel's reaction during a game, you know, when they give up a 3rd and 8, you know, is like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I know this works. It's tried and true. It's been proven over time, over his, you know, decades of time associated with the NFL. So, you know, I think there's an element of, look, you can be unlucky a little bit sometimes. You can have some guys in position, they don't make plays. I think there's a really good chance that this stuff evens itself out. And, you know, that maybe sounds like a cop-out answer, but look, I think you can look at some people and be like, well, you guys are just playing way too much man coverage. Like, I remember when Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator at the Chiefs, and it's like, you guys play cover one every time you're in, like, a 3rd and medium. Of course, like, because you're going to get pick plays and rub plays, you know, till you're blue in the face with that stuff. So, that's obvious to me. That, to me, that's a problem. Or look at the Greg Williams stuff and how aggressive he is. And it's like, look, sometimes you're just too aggressive. You don't need to be that aggressive all the time. Like, make them earn it. And so, look, I don't feel like the Titans are doing something, you know, that's out of line. And I think it can even itself out.
So, Tim, I want to get your opinions on this, because another thing that that we've discussed is your colleague, Lewis Riddick, it's being reported he's interviewed for the Texans and the Lions GM jobs. And we've seen this over
on Friday.
Yeah.
And supposedly on Friday.
We've seen this over the last few years of guys that go in the TV booth, whether it's the broadcast booth or play an analyst role like you've done. We've done both. And then they get back into their profession, whether as a coach or a front office guy. And I know Lewis is a little different. He's never been a GM. But why do you think that is, that we've seen kind of an uptick in this? And I know all the studying and everything that goes into it, but what are your opinions on it?
I think part of the reason is this: when you get outside of working for a team, right? So when you work for a team, your circle is, you know, for the most part, that team and kind of the people that, you know, that's your circle. Well, when you get out of it and get into TV, you know, now all of a sudden are covering everybody. And so, you know, your network, if you will, of people that you're interacting and talking with and maybe hit it off with changes. And, you know, so just take for Lewis, he's been doing Monday Night Football. Well, so he's been doing Monday Night Football. He goes, you know, and he's going to meet with people, you know, at all these different organizations. And they're going to get to know him. They're going to talk, and they might hit it off, and they might like him and think, well, you know what, that might end up being a good fit. I mean, think about John Lynch. You know, John Lynch in TV, he's calling games, yeah. Probably had a number of games that Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for, so meets with him prior to the game, and boom, and next thing you know, like there's a relationship there. So I think there's an element of that. I also think there's an element of, you know, when you have the ability to step away a little bit and then see how other people are doing things, you can be better off for it. I'll use a college example for you. You know, Mac Brown was in TV, and, you know, he gets back into coaching. Now he's North Carolina's head coach, and I think the way he views kind of how he uses and communicates to the media, I think he does it differently now after having been a part of it. And so I think there are elements of kind of those things that could go together that maybe make somebody a little bit more attractive of a candidate, you know, after time away from the game, but yet, away from a team, but not away from the game.
You mentioned John Lynch. Do you think that he's, and I know, again, it's different that he was a player and then went to the broadcast booth and then a GM, but is he probably the most successful top of mind that could come to top of mind for you that has kind of gone this route?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's clear that he had a pretty good track record being out and going – you know, I mean, his new role is something he had never done before. So, and I don't know that there's a – look, I feel like you see it more in other sports, and you look at baseball, and it's like, well, that guy was just a player, and all of a sudden he's a manager. And, you know, basketball, obviously the same thing. Football seems to be, you know, different, but I think there are elements of, you know, knowing about team chemistry and knowing about if a guy can play or not, and then if you're paired, you know, right GM with the right coach and right coach with the right GM, and then, you know, salary cap, you know, individual in an organization, you know, I think those things can work, you know. And so, okay, you know, Mike Mayock, you know, has, I think, been a part of making that team a more talented football team, you know, in Las Vegas. So I don't know if he's the most successful, but, you know, I think in some ways people are people, teams are teams, football is football. And so there is an element. I'll use this example. Trent Dilfer's coach at Lipscomb Academy. Well, he had never been a high school football coach before, but he could do it. He was a good high school football coach. And then if you asked him to go, you know, do something else, be a college football coach or a pro football coach or be the leader of a business, like, I think there are elements of a lot of those things that he would just get right because he's been around it and he's learned from a lot of people.
Well, leave us with this. If you plan on coaching somewhere, is it assumed that I'm coming with you as maybe the get back coach or something?
Well, I think we have a much bigger role than the get back coach. I think, probably like social media, director, off-season activity director, travel. Oh, there'd be a lot of travel. There'd be a lot of roles, I think. Yeah, a lot of roles. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Real quick before we get out of here, could you go back on, let us in, peel back the curtain a little bit quickly on Lewis Riddick. What is he like? You're obviously around him. You've been around him.
Mm-hmm.
What is he like as a person? I mean, we only see him on television.
I mean, he's kind of like he is on is in he? Person okay. on TV. I mean, he's really serious. I mean, I feel like he's serious a lot. You know, he's not these guys always cracking jokes or goofing around or any of that stuff. I mean, I think he's pretty intense and serious. I mean, that's pretty much I think he comes across that way on TV. You know, he's into it and cares about it, and I think that's you know, that's not made for TV. I think that's pretty much how he is. You know, he was with Washington when I was a player there, and he was that way as a scout. I feel like, you know, when you see him around the building, you'd be like, is he mad at me or is he just serious? You know,
just, it's like, all business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind of like this show, just all business, you know. Not really, Tim. We always enjoy the visits. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week before the holidays.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll come back with our new top 10 for the week. But right now, as I'm sitting here watching Richmond and Vanderbilt, Richmond up 27-10 over Vanderbilt with about 7.5 minutes to go in the first half. Speaking of basketball, it feels like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize. Since then, they've introduced a new class of professional basketball players through the draft and seen a few marquee names switch teams. Luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season, listen up, with a no-brainer for all customers new and existing. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store right now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is going to give you any team you want of your choice on opening night, plus 75-point spread. Yeah, you're going to get 75 points. That's all you have to do is bet on opening night. And if your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, you double up your money. This Saturday, there will be an endless amount of action to get in on, so don't wait. Head to the app right now. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Remember to use that promo code 1025GAME. When you sign up, you'll get a team and 75 points on opening night for a chance to double up your money. That code again, 1025GAME. Do that and double up your money on opening night. That's for a limited time Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. You're up, bringing us back from the break. It is, I don't know if it's our final countdown. It's just our top 10 countdown that we do every week. And our show is brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. And it's getting tougher. It's not really smooth making these picks because every week that goes by, I think it's getting tougher and tougher to whittle this thing down to two. So with that being said, now that we're going into week 15 of the NFL season, last week we kind of changed things around with Pittsburgh, you know, having all the injuries and things that are going on with them, that they were not clearly the number two. You could make them the number two, but we were going to go on the premise that Kansas City is the number one team overall, although it was noted that Willie wanted New Orleans to be number one on his sheet. Well, I think they lasted on a sheet for 1 week.
Yeah, they don't. They're mad at Willie. Willie jinxed him.
So, but he wanted that noted, that he wanted New Orleans, even though the it was about Kansas City being one, and then going after that, he wanted New Orleans one, and so we gave that to him. So this week, what do we have? We're going back on the premise that Kansas City is one, unless somebody would like to stand up and say no. Somebody else.
I just want to be able to make my own decision. I just want to be able to make my own decision.
Okay.
Why the premise?
Well, you can make your your own
New
decision.
Orleans is still number one in the Football Outsiders rankings, which I value very greatly.
We asked you, not Football Outsiders. So,
yeah, Is that what you're going?
You're just going on Football Outsiders picks?
I'm going Chiefs.
Or are you doing your own stuff?
He's going Chiefs.
Okay.
Yeah, Chiefs. He's going all that arguing, and he's going Chiefs.
I mean, come on. You can't put him in there.
Unless now, I will throw this out there, and I'd be curious to know what you guys have to say about it as we go along. I had more trouble with the top five than I did the bottom five, and it's been the bottom five usually.
Yeah, I think there's a little switch there. I really respect Tim's analysis, and so Tim got me thinking on the NFC. I almost started taking my Sharpie and crossing stuff out, but I did have more trouble with the top five than the bottom five.
Who were you confused on in the NFC? Who did he change? He'd flip you to.
It wasn't so much the NFC. It was more, should the NFC be considered overall weaker than the AFC? And okay. I think the answer is yes. And so does that affect my top five? That's the question I asked myself.
Okay. I will admit that this week was the toughest week for me. It is top to bottom.
Yep.
This I had a real hard time because I would say the three teams I've left out, my three bubble teams that are on the outside looking in, my guess is one, maybe even a couple, will be in your top ten. I don't know. It may be controversial. We're doing this week to week, and I may be wrong on a couple of these teams, especially one in particular, but we've got to go on what we believe. So with that being said, last week we all except for Willie, because he wanted it noted that New Orleans was his number one. We had New Orleans, Jason and I had New Orleans number two. So I don't know where everybody's going with it this week. So, Willie, I'll start with you. Who's your number two?
After almost changing based on Tim's assessment, I didn't do it. I'm sticking with the Saints. I'm just going to give them a mulligan. For the loss against Philadelphia, they looked very stale. They almost came back and stole it. Maybe just not ready for what Jalen Hurts was going to do. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, maybe I have a few doubts. But, of course, the easy answer is they still will get Breeze back eventually. So I'm going to hold them at number two, but very shaky.
Okay, so you've got New Orleans now, a shaky team.
Shaky two.
Okay. All right. Chase?
I do not have New Orleans as a shaky two.
Nor do I.
I have the Green Bay Packers at number two.
Chase, we agree.
Okay.
I, too, have the Packers at number two, and I was looking through because I've asked you guys to save your week to week.
Yep.
The highest I've had Green Bay is four. No, it's not. The first time we did it, I had Green Bay three.
I had them.
Week 11, I had Green Bay three, and in week 13, I had them four.
I've had them four every time we've done this that I've been on.
Okay.
So this is by far the highest that I've had them. But they're winning. They're finding ways. And you know, Rodgers has had an MVP-type season.
Yep.
They've won three in a row, 4-1 in their last five. And I kind of feel like they're almost being quiet about it. like maybe they're not getting they're being talked about. You know what I mean? But it's like you look at the standings like, oh, there's Green Bay. You just kind of expect it, I guess, is what I should say. So they're there at 10-3, and so I think right now they are the number two team.
I've had Green Bay four the last 2 weeks, and I have moved them up to three. So you guys have them two. I moved them up to three. I strongly considered them for two. So
that's why you were shaky.
That's part of the shakiness. Because I don't think they're a juggernaut. But like you guys said, they're getting it done, and they've got maybe the MVP outside of Mahomes. They have the NFC MVP.
I don't really know if anybody's a juggernaut, quite honestly. I mean, Kansas City is probably the closest thing to a juggernaut. But Green Bay, as it was just stated, I mean, Rodgers, Mahomes, you can make a solid case for either one as the MVP of the league, best players in the league. Aaron Jones is a fantastic running back. Devontae Adams is an elite number one receiver. I mean, he's got the elite number one receiver, and he's got a stud running back. And their defense is, you know, doing just enough. They're kind of middle of the road. They're not top of the heap. They're not the bottom of the heap. They're just kind of middle of the road in the NFL. And right now that's good enough to just keep winning every week. So I went with Green Bay number two. Chase, who did you have at three?
Number three for me, that's where I knocked down New Orleans. So I put the Saints at three. I'm not going to have them tumble, you know, just after last week. I mean, yes, it's a loss, and got to obviously factor that in. But I still think they're a good team, and we'll see when Breeze comes back just how far they go. So I only dropped them one spot.
Okay, Willie?
Okay, I already said I got Green Bay at three, so what do you got?
I've got Buffalo. I have moved Buffalo up to number three, which you guys know I've been high on Buffalo the entire time. Let's see. I've had Buffalo six, Buffalo five, Buffalo five, Buffalo five. They just keep winning games. And if it wasn't for a Hail Mary, guess what? They'd have 11 wins already. Just think about that Arizona game. They'd have 11 wins. I've got Buffalo as a three.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I was trying not to give away my full thing with New Orleans. This is where I struggled because I did think about, do I put Buffalo at three because I have them at four? I was one of those that I wasn't a huge believer in the Bills just because I thought they were going to wake up one day and go, oh, yeah, we're the Bills. We're not supposed to do this. And they've proven that wrong. They've been a very good team. I watched them Sunday night just like everybody else and was very, very impressed with them. Josh Allen, is he elite?
He's had an unbelievable year.
Is he elite? No, but he's had an unbelievable year. He's doing what he needs to do to help that team win. So this is when I said that I struggled with the top five. This was my biggest struggle between do I drop the Saints down two spots and go Buffalo? And I didn't. You did. So because I'll let you say who number four is. But, yeah, I had the Bills number four.
I've got Buffalo three. Their defense is really, really good. Josh Allen is not elite. He's elite this year. He's gotten better every year of his career. They can't run the ball very well. I don't think they have – he's their best runner. Devin Singletary, they're not very good. They've got an elite receiver in Stephon Diggs. And you know what? They just keep getting it done. Like I said, they're a Hail Mary pass away from being 11-2 right now. And you can't take that away from them, no matter how you feel. As we talked about earlier, Pittsburgh's going the other way, and a lot of it has to do with their injuries. But Buffalo's going one way, and Pittsburgh's going the other, and yet they both could be sitting here 11-2 right now. So I had Buffalo 3. So with that being said, this is where I did put New Orleans. I had them 4. I had them 2 last week. You know, I watched that entire game last week. And you can say what you want. They're just not the same without Drew Brees. And I know they had been winning without Drew Brees, but there's times when you need that Hall of Fame quarterback to win them games. And Drew Brees, I think if he was under center and healthy last week, they find a way to beat a bad Philadelphia team. Taysom Hill, he doesn't have that right now in his DNA. He's a runner, obviously, but they're just not the same team without Drew Brees. Yes, their defense has been good. But I'm sliding them back to 4. Willie?
Well, I think we all have the same 5 in some order in the top 5. I'm sticking with Pittsburgh as a shaky 4, and I've got Buffalo 5. Moving up. Buffalo is moving up, but I still think Pittsburgh's in a lull. I'm very concerned about the injuries. I still think they're gonna come out of the slump and look really good.
All right,
so I've got them very slightly ahead.
So
of
you
Buffalo.
Had who did repeat again? Who did you have at 4?
Pittsburgh,
and then you had
Buffalo 5.
Buffalo at 5. Okay.
Okay.
Chase,
before you, because I have Buffalo at 4, and before you go 5, because I think you and I are right around each other. We're just a little bit off. I put Pittsburgh at 5, but I struggled even to put them at 5.
I put them at 6.
Okay, that's what I thought you might do. I really thought about, do I put the Rams 5th? Because I have the Rams 6th. I know we're going all over the place, but this is the conversation. The Steelers have problems, as we've discussed, and I think they're going to continue to fall down the standings. And it's amazing that they started the year the way they did, but with the injuries they have and just the drops and the way that they've been playing, you brought it up with Tim, I see more losses. Like I think Cleveland could get them in the final week. Indy could get them. I don't see a team that makes me believe that, you know, they've turned it on at the right time. And so I did think about putting the Rams up to 5th, but ultimately I went Steelers 5th.
You guys know I've been on the Rams the whole time in this. I've had the Rams as high as 4 in week 12. I've got the Rams 5 and I've got Pittsburgh 6. In Pittsburgh, it's just about everything we've talked about. They cannot run the football whatsoever. They have no running game. Right now, their tremendous wide receivers, even their big tight end, who's really good, all of them are really good. They've got the dropsies. They can't catch the ball. They've got the most drops in the league. Their defense keeps losing stud after stud after stud. I'm sorry. That just catches up with you. You can't lose Bush and then lose Dupree. And, oh, by the way, they played against Buffalo, no Joe Hayden. Spillane is out now. I mean, they just keep dropping like flies. And, oh, by the way, their offensive line is dropping like flies. They had no more reserves. If anybody else would have gotten hurt in their Sunday night game in Buffalo, they were down to, you know, I guess putting a tight end there. So they didn't have any more offensive linemen. So it's all starting to catch up with Pittsburgh, and I just don't like what I see. They're going the wrong direction, so therefore I slid them all the way down to 6, which is obviously the furthest they've ever been. All right, let's go to 7. Willie,
well,
who do you have?
I
have
really say 6.
I have against 6.
Okay, you give 6 and 7.
Okay, I've got Seattle 6, the Rams 7.
Seattle 6.
You're still not a believer.
It's right there. They're right there.
What else do they got to do, though? I mean, and I'm saying that when I'm sitting here going, should I have had them 5th? But
one team has one of the best quarterbacks of the era, and the other team has a very up and down quarterback that could cost them a game.
And one team's got a stud defense, and the other team does not.
Yep. As we discuss all these teams, everybody's got flaws. I think the tie goes to who has the better quarterback. That's how I see it.
So tie goes to the runner.
Seattle 6, the Rams 7.
Wow. Chase?
Okay. I have Seattle 7.
I have the Titans 7.
Okay. So you give them a slight edge.
I had them 9 last week, and I've moved them up to 7.
Yeah, I had them 9th last week, and I moved them to 8th. So Seattle 7th, Titans 8th. Is where I went with that.
It's a razor's edge.
Yep.
I had the Browns 7. Obviously, they lost. I've slid them down. But I had Titans 7 and Colts 8. I had Colts 8, Titans 9 last week. This week, I've got them reversed. Titans 7, Colts 8.
I got Titans 8 and the Colts 9.
Hmm. Yeah, I did the same thing.
I want to see more growth from the Titans D. Until then, I've put them pretty much in the same spot. It's either been 6, 7, or 8 every week. I've had them in the top 10 the entire time consistently, but for them to get to another level, I got to see more from the D, which I'm not sure we're going to see.
So you think right now if the Colts played the Seahawks and the Rams, they would lose to both of them?
Well, yeah. I don't know if you can necessarily
say
that.
We're splitting hairs. They're two slots away. I mean,
yeah,
where is the game? Is it the are you saying in the Super Bowl?
No, I'm just asking if they were playing this week. If Seattle and the Colts were playing this week, how do you think that would play out?
Fun games.
Flip of the coin, probably.
Yeah. I flip the coin.
Are you trying to say somebody's clearly better than the other?
No. I'm not. No, I'm just asking. I think that would it's interesting.
I'd love to watch that game.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's the whole thing with this top 10 and with these teams this year that I mean, the Chiefs probably have the edge over just about everybody, but they've also been you watch their last handful of games, I feel like they're sleepwalking. I mean, I just feel like they're a team that they haven't quite flipped the switch to turn it on yet. And if they do, then they might run away with it. But you could also say that about some of the other teams. That is there another level? And that's what I think that makes this year fun.
So I had Titans 7, Colts 8, Browns down to 9, Seattle 10.
You and I are right around
each other. Browns 9, Seattle 10.
See, the biggest difference I think is I have Seattle 7th and you have them 10th, but I have the Colts 9, the Browns 10.
My two biggest problems with Seattle is their defense is shaky, even though they're getting bodies back, so it's getting better. But it's not even shaky; it's been flat out awful at times. But they are getting bodies back; they're better now, and they just don't have a running game. And I prefer a good running game over no running game. And Seattle doesn't have a running game. And so that's why I favor the Browns. They're the number one rushing team in the league. So I have to favor them a little bit more. So that's why I have Browns 9, Seattle 10. Obviously, we know the quarterback edge goes to Russell Wilson and the receivers. You got to love Seattle's receivers, but that's why I went that route. What do you guys have, 9 and 10?
I'm staying consistent. So just to give you my the bottom five are really tough. You got a couple of key division races. I'm trying to split Seattle and the Rams. I've got them 6 and 7. Titans and Indy, I've got the Titans 8, Indy 9. But those four right there are all almost exactly the same. You could almost say tie for 6th for all of those. They're almost identical. I have been consistent with the Ravens 10th all the way through. I feel better about that every week, and I don't see them losing again. So I've got them over Cleveland. I still have Cleveland first team out at 11 for the second straight week, and Tampa 12th, and then Miami 13th. And other than that, there's no other consideration in my mind.
So who do you have out again? Bubble teams?
The bubble team, the number one bubble team is Cleveland. The second one for me is Tampa, and then the third is Miami. Those are the others receiving votes, if you will.
Yep.
But I had them outside the top 10. But I have Baltimore in the top 10. I have all the way through. I've had them 10 for 3 straight weeks.
I am bullish on Baltimore. This is now the 4th consecutive week they have not made my top 10, and I just don't believe they're as good as everybody thinks they are.
They're the first team out for me, but Like, I still have, even though they beat Cleveland, I still have Cleveland ahead of them. Do I think Cleveland is perfect? No, not at all. But I have them above Baltimore, and then I have Tampa. And I agree with Miami as well.
Bucks, Dolphins, Ravens are the three that I have on the outside looking in. Both, all, obviously, all three of them are 8-5. I like the Bucks the best of that group, followed by maybe the Dolphins, and then probably the Ravens. I just, everybody's enamored with the Ravens. I'm just not, and maybe I'm going to be wrong about them, but I see warts and I see flaws. So I'm just going to keep leaving them out right now. We'll see how this plays out. So there you go. There is our top 10. This was hard. This week was hard.
Oh, it was.
Had to be a lot of thought put into this week. All right, we will come back. By the way, Tim Corbin, later in the fourth and final hour of the program. Right now I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they would love to help you like they've helped me. They'd love to help improve your quality of life like they've done for me over the last several years. I've been going there for years. They've been helping a lot of you for years, and they've been around this market for years, since 2007 to be exact. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to help you in so many areas. And as we all get older, things start happening. And maybe you haven't been feeling yourself lately, and you can't figure out why you've been off. Maybe you haven't had any energy or any drive. You've had mood swings. There's a list of a lot of things. Go talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They can get that turned around and get you headed in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which should always be viewed as important, but especially in the calendar year of 2020. And we get it. They get it. You've been out of sorts. You've been out of your routine. You've probably tacked on some unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you would like to make an appointment or schedule a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.